Hello everyone. So I decided to make the first half of this episode of 30 minutes about what it was like to be Christian in the crime world, my final time talking about it, and the other 30 minutes will be about the other things in my sexual past that I have not shared yet. These are the last set of flashbacks on that topic and just both these topics. Here we go. So when I was in the crime world, involuntarily speaking, as y'all already know, I felt a mixed bag of emotions. The feelings I felt the most were loneliness, exhaustion, chronic stress, rage, melancholy, anguish, exasperation, dread, fear, worry, guilt, and shame. Those are the feelings I felt the most in such a world. And the number one reason is, I'll give you the first three reasons in honor of the Holy Trinity that I abided by as a child. First reason for these feelings was I was forced to practice Christianity all on my own. As a five-year-old, I was forced to practice the Christian religion all on my own as a five-year-old. I was forced to practice the social cultural system of Christianity all on my own as a five-year-old. I was forced to practice designated Christian behaviors and Christian practices all on my own as a five-year-old. I was forced to practice Christian morals all on my own as a five-year-old. I was forced to practice Christian beliefs all on my own as a five-year-old. I was forced to practice the Christian worldviews all on my own as a five-year-old. I was forced to practice the Christian texts, the holy book, the Bible, all on my own as a five-year-old. I was forced to practice Christian ethics all on my own as a five-year-old. I was forced to live out Christian prophecies all on my own as a five-year-old. I was forced to value immeasurably Christian sanctified places all on my own as a five-year-old. I was forced to practice Christian spirituality all on my own as a five-year-old. I was forced to practice Christian supernaturalism all on my own as a five-year-old. I was forced to practice Christian transcendence all on my own as a five-year-old. I was forced to abide by the Christian divine all on my own as a five-year-old. I was forced to practice Christian sacredness all on my own as a five-year-old. I was forced to practice the Christian faith all on my own as a five-year-old. I was forced to value divine protection in the form of benevolent Christian supernatural beings such as angels and archangels and guardian angels all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to abide by Christian sacred histories all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to practice Christian narratives all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to practice God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit being preserved in oral traditions all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to appreciate Christian symbols / Christian symbolism all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to practice honoring Christian holy grounds all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to live by the Christian explanation for the origin of life, the universe, and other phenomena all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to practice Christian rituals and Christian sermons all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to practice Christian commemoration and Christian veneration of Christian saints and the Christian Holy Trinity all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to appreciate Christian festivals, Christian feasts, Christian initiations, and Christian trances, trances, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to practice Christian initiations, Christian meditation, Christian prayer, Christian music, Christian art, Christian dance, Christian public service, all on my own as a 5-year-old. And I was forced to appreciate Christian matrimonial and funerary services and Christian initiations all on my own as a 5-year-old. And because I was in the crime world, it was traumatic to hear the criminals decry Christianity as mythology. I had to deal with that all alone as a 5-year-old. Abiding by the Christian holy places and Christian sacred texts, the Bible, was of excruciation beyond measure and beyond compare, not because of God, but because of the criminals. I had to be Christian all on my own. I'll tell you this. And it becomes more tender because I was forced to be commissioned by God all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to act in holiness, sincerity, and dependence on God alone in my dealings with God, self, and others, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to be straightforward, speak truthfully, and be sincere in honor of the Most High, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to have God's Holy Spirit all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to love believers, deists, and adherents of the Holy Trinity all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to speak with Christ's authority all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to work among the kingdom disciples, even though I was unchurched at the time, outside of my control, so all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to change lives for the better, helping out other kingdom disciples, even though there weren't any kingdom disciples regularly in my life, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to not give up on God and not surrender God away, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to teach the Bible with integrity, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to have Christ as the center of my message, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to endure persecution for Jesus Christ as I taught the good news, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to be Christ's ambassador and called to tell the good news of his, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to try to live an exemplary life so others would not be kept from God, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to lead a pure life, understand the gospel, and display patience with those with demonic hearts, as well as the hard-hearted, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to be full and filled with God's power, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to stand true to God first and always, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to never lead anyone astray nor take advantage of anyone for the sake of God's glory, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to handle my spiritual love offerings for the other believers in responsible, accountable, blameless, faultless manners, even though Christians were not in my life at the time, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to use God's weapons, not my own, for God's work, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to be confident that I belonged to Christ, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to boast not in myself, but in the Lord, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to have authority from the Supreme Being because I taught anyone I encountered the good news of the Holy Spirit, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to endure devilish pain and antichrist danger as I fulfilled my calling from the Prince of Peace, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was forced to be blessed with an astounding vision from Jehovah, all on my own, as a 5-year-old. I was forced to live as an example to the believers, despite not having believers in my life, all on my own, as a 5-year-old. I was forced to be constantly humbled by a thorn in the flesh called child abuse that God permitted to happen and did not take away, all on my own, as a 5-year-old. Some of the people that I blessed were believers. Some told me and some didn't. Because remember, I was hitchhiking and wandering off and walking the streets by myself. It was God walking with me. That was my belief at the time. And I talked to believers around that time. I don't know why they didn't stay in my life, but in passing, I interacted with people. They told me about their Christian allegiance to Christ. And I had to deal with that all on my own as a 5-year-old. I had to always be motivated to strengthen others and myself spiritually for the Son of God, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I was always concerned that to live a life where I would have spiritual children become mature believers. As a child myself, I didn't know human reproduction system. I didn't know sex, you know, but I just felt like as a child, I'd have spiritual children. And dealing with that all on my own as a 5-year-old, I had to pass the tests, exams, quizzes and pop quizzes from God in the form of these criminals, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I had to do miracles, signs, wonders, breakthroughs, and blessings in Jesus' name, even to those who oppose Christ, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I had to be overflowing with God's power, all on my own as a 5-year-old. These were my Christian credentials as a child, all by my 5-year-old lonesome. I had to be an apostle for Christ Jesus, all alone as a 5-year-old. I had to be a prophet for Christ Jesus, all alone as a 5-year-old. I had to be an evangelist for Christ Jesus, all alone as a 5-year-old. I had to be a pastor for Christ Jesus, all alone as a 5-year-old. I had to be a teacher for Christ Jesus, all alone as a 5-year-old. I had to be of service for Christ Jesus, all alone as a 5-year-old. I had to be of exhortation for Christ Jesus, all alone as a 5-year-old. I had to be of giving for Christ Jesus, all alone as a 5-year-old. I had to be leading for Christ Jesus, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I had to be of mercy for Christ Jesus, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I had to be a word of wisdom for Christ Jesus, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I had to be a word of knowledge for Christ Jesus, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I had to be of faith for Christ Jesus, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I had to be of gifts of healings for Christ Jesus, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I had to be of working of miracles for Christ Jesus, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I had to be of visions for Christ Jesus, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I had to be of discerning of spirits for Christ Jesus, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I had to be of tongues, speaking of tongues, glossolalia and xenoglossy, all for Christ Jesus, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I had to be of interpretation of tongues for Christ Jesus, all alone as a 5-year-old. I had to be of helps for Christ Jesus, all my own as a 5-year-old. I had to be of administration for Christ Jesus, all my own as a 5-year-old. I had to practice the spiritual gift of celibacy in the midst of rape culture, all on my own as a 5-year-old, to the best of my ability. I had to practice the spiritual gifts of fellowship, hospitality, intercession, and effective witnessing, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I had to practice protecting my spiritual gift of marriage, thinking about my future wife, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I had to compose spiritual music, poetry, and prose for Christ Jesus, all known as a 5-year-old. And remember, I had to protect the spiritual gift of marriage for Christ Jesus, all known as a 5-year-old. I had to live out the interpretation of dreams and craftsmanship, all for Christ Jesus, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I had to practice phanerosis, diaconia, energemata, and pneumatica, all for Christ Jesus, all known as a 5-year-old. I had to live out the spiritual gifts, charisms, and charismata, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I had to be about the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit, such as wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I had to live out all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The 9 versions, such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all on my own as a 5-year-old. I had to be about the Catholic Church's 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit, such as charity, joy, peace, patience, benignity, goodness, longanimity, mildness, faith, modesty, continency, and chastity in the midst of sexual objectification, to the best of my ability, all of my own as a 5-year-old. Imagine in church you're taught that the works of the flesh will prevent you from going to heaven. But in the crime world, you have to deal with all by yourself as a 5-year-old, all on my own, witnessing orgies, drunkenness, envy, divisions, dissensions, rivalries, fits of anger, jealousy, strife, enmity, idolatry, sensuality, impurity, sorcery, sexual immorality. Imagine dealing with the works of the flesh while maintaining biblical orthodoxy for Christ Jesus, all known as a five-year-old. So imagine you're taught that all these things are bad, but you're 5 years old, seeing all these things, no kingdom disciples around, no believers around, no Christians around, no followers of the way around, no church people around. No church leadership is around. No parishioners around. No church members are around. Imagine how that was a heart stomper, crusher to me when it was time to really apply what they were teaching. In terms of these things are bad, I subconsciously ask myself, why aren't you protecting me from the works of the flesh if y'all vocalize that these things, these works of the flesh are bad? And that subconsciously caused me righteous indignation. Whenever they would, when I was in church and they would teach these things are bad, but you let these things happen to me. That caused me, that was irksome for my soul. And then when they talked about how the seven deadly sins are bad, but I was exposed in the crime world to pride, greed, wrath, envy, lust, gluttony, and sloth. And I was also exposed to acedia, vanity, and vainglory by the crime world. Again, I was not protected from these things that they say no one should ever experience. I'm 5 years old. I shouldn't be protecting myself like I had to back then. All on my own. I had to live out the seven heavenly virtues. Of chastity. In a sexually reckless culture. Temperance, charity, diligence, patience, kindness, humility. Prudence. Justice. Fortitude, hope, and faith, all on my own as a five-year-old. The seven capital virtues, the four cardinal virtues, the seven capital virtues, seven heavenly virtues, I had to live them all out, all on my own as a five-year-old. I was exposed to the unforgivable, unpardonable sin against the Holy Spirit. All on my own. As a five-year-old, no protection from it. You know, the church would say, that's so bad, you're condemned to hell. I was exposed to mortal sin. Even though when I was in church later, they said mortal sin, you're definitely damned to hell. But I wasn't protected from it as a child. And I had to be about all these crucial concepts in Romans, such as election, justification, propitiation, redemption, sanctification, and glorification, all for Christ Jesus, all on my own as a 5-year-old. And I had to, in church I was taught about false gospels, false teachers, false leaders, false speakers, false preachers. But in the crime world, I was exposed to them unprotected the most at that time as a 5-year-old all on my own. Now it is time for me to talk about the sexual past part of my life once and for all. After I say that I had to be about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, stomping on the devil and his minions, I'm protected from the devil and his minions, all on my own, as a 5-year-old. I was forced to overcome sin and iniquity and criminality, all on my own as a 5-year-old. No protection from the church. No protection from the household of faith. No protection from the family of believers. No protection from any church family, actually. Now we can officially transition to the sexual past part of my life. So when I was in my sexual past at the time, I was often invited to orgies between myself and women. The women invited me to these orgies. Most of the women were cisgender heterosexual. The rest of the women were cisgender bisexual, small amount. So they sexually explored me more than they sexually explored each other. And occasionally they would all take their turns on me, but for the most part, they all took their turns on me individually. And I accepted their invitations to be a part of their sex clubs, swinger clubs, lifestyle clubs, bunga bunga orgies, sex parties, and BDSM clubs. We did everything under the sexual sun that you can think of in the name of enthusiastic, well-informed adult consensuality. I remember that the women liked the fact that I would pay attention to other women and them, but they would pay attention to just me because I politely let them know that's what I wanted. And they liked that I can take charge and initiative, so they were happy about that. You know, I remember working the pole. Like I told you, I was a male stripper. So They said to me, Tony, we own that pole. You just don't give a fuck. That pole is yours. You own that pole. You make that pole your bitch. And I just remember laughing with them loudly after they made that statement. Because the veteran male strippers who took classes, as you know, they were jealous of me. Because I was much better stripping than them, even though I never took any stripper classes. So when I would work the pole, I remember being free-flowing, going wherever the spirit moved me. That's how I interpreted it at the time. And I remember just being spontaneous, saying and doing whatever popped into my mind. And I remember that the women were in awe of that. You know, I would do my schoolwork, get good grades for the day, and after class let out, I would go to women's homes. Is they had stripper poles in their homes at the time. So I vividly remember their mouths would drop because I remember, here's all this sexual dancing I would do with them. And I must be graphic, but it's good graphic. It's not, oh my God, I'm scarred for life graphic. No, it's bearable kind of graphic. So this is, with the women, I would do the can-can on them. I would do the cage dance on them. I would do the go-go dance on them. I would do the hoochie coochie on them. I would do the mushra on them. I would do sexercise on them. I would do strip teases on them. I would do pole dancing in their presence. I would do the bubble dance in their presence. I would do the fan dance on them. I'd do the gown and glove strip tease on them. I would lap dance them. I would contacts them. I would couch dance them. I would limo lap dance them. I would do the dance of the seven veils on them. I would do the table dance on them. I would do the bar top dance on them. I would do burlesque on them. I would do the, I was the bar boy. I was their bar boy. Basically, I was a man who was paid by women to entertain the women patrons in a in a bar, either individually, sometimes that happened, or in some cases as a performer, that often happened. So my entertainment of them ranged from light conversation to sexual services, and the public entertainment, I did that too. I was the B-boy, the host, the juicy boy. I was a bar host as a bar boy. I was also a bar dancer because of the sexual entertainment I was giving them in terms of being their erotic dancer and exotic dancer, because I was performing erotic dances and exotic dances on them. And I was experiencing bar fines, which is a payment made by the women customers to the operations of their bars that allowed me to leave work early if I wanted to, sex work early, usually in order to accompany the women customers outside for sexual services, which I did back then. So the women turned their homes into dance bars, go-go bars, hostess bars, basically. They turned their homes into strip clubs, basically. The sexual services were, basically, I'm your exotic dancer, erotic dancer. You pay me for that, and we have sex after that. That was what the sexual services were. So I also, when it came to the women, I did grinding, juking, freak dancing, freaking, and whining. When it came to the women, I did neo-burlesque, new burlesque, American burlesque. And when it came to the women, I did twerking. I did sexually provocative manners. I was throwing and thrusting my hips back, shaking my buttocks in low squatting stances. I was doing the bounce, mixing, exercising, the bend over, the shoulder hustle, the clapping, the booty popping, the sleeper, the wild wood, the booty shaking. That's what I did to them. And the women turned their homes into pleasure clubs, block parties, and second lines, practically. So that's what I did with the women. I wore G-strings. I wore pasties. The exposure of my nipples and genitals was out in the open. I was in full nudity and that was our social dances at the time. It was ceremonial, competitive performance. It was erotically stimulating, sexually arousing for the women viewers at that time. And after I did all these genres of erotic dance and exotic dance, the group sex would commence between us. The reverse gangbangs would commence between us. The threesomes and three ways of menage a trois would commence between us. The foursomes or four ways menage a quatres would commence between us. The gangbangs would converse between us, and the daisy chains would commence between us. I remember in these in the early days of me going to these sex parties, it was, at first it was circle jerks, double penetration, venturing, monogamous group sex, or same room sex, and soft swapping. But after a while, they didn't have any other men come along. I was a part of those sexual activities. But after a while, they kicked the other men out because the other men weren't gentlemanly, weren't of chivalry, and they started becoming of ill repute for it. They pretended to be kind, but then outside you go, oh wow, they talk crazy to women, they try to lay hands on them, that type of thing. So they were kicked out and never seen or heard from again. Besides the women, there were some women that beat them to shreds because they tried to lay hands on women when they didn't get their sexual way with women. So that's what happened. And rumor has it that the police arrested them and they got prosecuted. That's what I heard a lot of people were saying at the time. So I do remember when it came to the women, the swinger party slash gatherings happened to between us. Yeah. Oh, the men were heterosexual, so they took their turns with the women. And the men were queer, so they took their turns on me, not very much. Mostly the women, because the people I was around, even though they had multiple sexual attractions, they were more heterosexually inclined than anything else, biologically speaking. So, as for being a drag performer, I wore backless dresses. I wore Balfont gowns. I wore coat dresses. I wore cocktail dresses. I wore little black dresses, LBDs. I wore evening gowns. I wore ball gowns. I wore debutante dresses. I wore princess dresses. I wore strapless dresses. I wore wedding dresses. I wore wrap dresses, WRAP. I wore house dresses. I wore jumper dresses. I wore romper suits. I wore sheath dresses. I wore shirt dresses. I wore slip dresses. I wore sun dresses. I wore skirts. I wore gowns. I wore dresses. I wore A-line skirts. I wore ballerina skirts. I wore denim skirts. I wore men's skirts. I wore mini skirts. I wore pencil skirts. I wore prairie skirts. I wore rah-rah skirts. I wore sarongs. I wore skorts. I wore tutus. I wore wrap clothing, WRAP. I wore bras. I wore camisoles. I wore undershirts, which is an article of underwear worn underneath a dress shirt, intended to protect it from body sweat and odors. I wore lingerie. I wore adult bodysuits. I wore long underwear. I wore see-through clothing. I wore teddy, also called a cami knicker. C-A-M-I-K-N-I-C-K-E-R. I wore revealing clothing. For example, I wore latex clothing. And I wore thongs. I wore full slips, half slips, and slips. I wore panties. I wore leggings. Let's see, I wore bikinis. I wore swimwear. I wore burkinis. I wore monokinis. I wore one-piece swimsuits. I wore sling swimsuits. I wore pantyhoses. I wore stockings. I wore hold-ups or stay-ups. I wore nightgowns. I wore morning dresses that are typically worn by women. I wore makeup, I wore nail polish. I wore lipstick. I remember I wore wetsuits. I wore bell bottoms. Yeah. And I just wore all the clothes that are typically assigned to women. Yeah, so I was a drag queen when I was in college. And I'm honest about these kind of things because we live in a world where people, especially men, are ashamed to wear these things, and I say, don't be, because clothing doesn't make the man. A man's heart is what makes him a man or a boy. So I'm just unashamed of my past. Would I repeat any part of it? No. But am I, it the being a drag performer is nothing to be ashamed of. Being a male stripper is nothing to be ashamed of. So those parts are not bad. How it all that happening under the guise of trauma, it's bad because of that. But outside of trauma, male stripping is beautiful. Outside of trauma, drag performing is beautiful. So drag kingdom are all good as long as they're outside of trauma. Female stripping and non-binary adult stripping are beautiful outside of trauma. And I want to say on record, I have nothing against occult practices. I don't have a problem with them. As long as they tell people the truth, I'm fine with it. I'm pro alcohol in moderation. I'm pro sex in marriage and outside of marriage in moderation. I just wanted to say that on record. Like, I'm pro group sex in moderation. I'm pro two people sex in moderation. Just wanted to say that. And, I just wanted to make that clear because it's easy for people to go, wait a minute, what you got against? Exactly. I had to pause for that part. Now, I love making distinctions because this is what I want to say. So I also want to make it clear that for me, I had to recognize that when it came to women, I was their pubs buddy. I was their bars buddy. I was their nightclubs buddy. I was their parties buddy. I was their Sin City buddy. I was their live music buddy. I was their concerts buddy. I was their cabarets buddy. I was their theater buddy. I was their cinemas buddy. I was their shows buddy. I was their nightlife entertainment buddy. I was their nightlife venues buddy. I was their night owls buddy. Yes. So all these things inside of trauma were all horrible. All these things outside of trauma are lovely. There's a distinction, and I love making distinctions. And I was their alcohol buddy. I was their weed buddy. Alcohol, weed, when it comes with fused with trauma, bad. Alcohol, weed, outside of trauma, fantastic. So I want to say on record, all forms of erotic dancing and all forms of exotic dancing inside of trauma, terrible. All forms of erotic dancing, all forms of exotic dancing outside of trauma, outstanding. All right? I just wanted to say that. Now, when it came to some women, this was my past. When it came to some women were my personal strippers. Some women were my personal pole dancers. Some women were my personal phone sex operators. Some women were my personal erotic dancers. Some women were my personal exotic dancers. Some women were my personal pornographic film actresses, because yes, we taped each other sometimes. some women were my personal peep show performers. Some women were my personal escort services providers. They never charged me for any sex work ever. Some women were my personal girlfriend experience. Some women were my personal sugar mamas. Some women were my personal indoor prostitution. Some women were my personal brothel worker. Some women were my personal massage parlor-related prostitution services providers. Like I said, some women were personal indoor prostitution services providers. Some women were my personal bar casino prostitution survivors. Some women were my personal dominatrix. Some women were my personal street prostitution providers. Some women were my personal sexual surrogates providers. Some women were my personal red light districts. And, you know, some women were my personal can-can. Some women were my personal cage dance. Some women were my personal go-go dance. Some women were my personal hoochie-coochie. Some women were my personal mushroom. Some women were my personal sexercise. Some women were my personal striptease. Some women were my personal exotic dancers. Some women were my personal erotic dancers. Some women were my personal erotic massage specialists. Some women were my personal pole dance. Some women were my personal bubble dance. Some women were my personal fan dance. Some women were my personal gown and glove striptease. Some women were my personal lap dance. Some women were my personal couch dance. Some women were my personal contact dance. Some women were my personal limo lap dance. Some women were my personal dance to Seven Veils. Some women were my personal table dance. Some women were my personal bar top dance. Some women were my personal burlesque. Some women were my personal bar girls. Some women were my personal bar hostesses. Some women were my personal bar dancers. Some women were my personal bar finds. Some women were my personal grinding. Some women were my personal near burlesque. Some women were my personal new burlesque. Some women were my personal American burlesque. Some women were my personal twerking. Some women were throwing and thrusting their hips back and shaking their buttocks, low squatting dance, sexually provocative manners when it came to me and me alone. Some women, when it came to me, they personally did mixing, exercising, bend over, shoulder hustle, clapping, booty popping, the sleeper, the wildwood, booty shaking and bounce. They would do all these things for me and nobody else. That's what I mean when I say personal. Some women did exotic dance, erotic dances for me and nobody else. Some women were my personal nudes of popping. Some women were my personal strip clubs. It's not braggadocious. I'm just very honest. Some women, I just have to say this. This is my last time discussing this. Some women were my buddies when it came to naturist resorts, nude beaches, nude swimming. Naked yoga, naked parties, nude weddings, top freedom, toplessness, exhibitionism, voyeurism, of the consensual, deliberate, everybody's happy kind. And they were my buddies, like, when it came to nudity and live performance. And all the porn tapes they destroyed, because we would watch it and then destroy it because we didn't want to confiscate it. But that's the stuff I did with women back then. Okay, there's more. Okay. You're about to finish me. Some women... when it came to me, they were... So, when it came to myself and women, we did sexual activities at sex clubs, sex spas. And I was their buddy when it came to burlesque shows, erotic cinema, live sex shows. And I do remember these women basically turned their homes into sex conferences, sex conventions. They took me to some sex museums, I remember. Some people in the sex work world and some erotica people made their own sex museums. And they had these mini sex conferences and sex conventions. It was very small, but that's what they turned it into. And that's what I remember. And I just want to say that ethical adult sex tourism, nudism, naturism, nude recreation, and sex work are all beautiful outside of trauma, but heinous inside of trauma. So, I am so grateful that I don't have to ever talk about this again. And I'm so grateful that I was able to share with you that as a child, I had to overcome hell all by my lonesome. I had to be a Christian on my own. I had to be a kingdom disciple on my own. I had to figure out God on my own all when I was a 5-year-old child. And I would be forever dismayed by that. And I must admit, the women turned their homes into like porn conventions and porn conferences. And I went to many porn conferences and many porn conventions they had. Erotica people, sex work people, and porn people. It was very small. So I did go to those. But the best way for me to end this episode is to say that I had to be a God pleaser all by myself at the age of 5, and that ain't no jive.